You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Buster Olney, ESPN senior baseball writer, is with us. Buster, it's Chris and Bart here in New York City. And first things first, Buster, is it actually possible that by 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to have a 16-team playoff scenario as opposed to 10 teams?
It is. They're talking about it. Now, there have been a couple of complications during the conversation. It's not 100% that it's going to get done. But the expectation is that it will. You know, there clearly is a lot of motivation on the part of Major League Baseball in a year in which they've lost a lot of money to put this format in place. Could wind up saving them, many tens of millions of dollars in terms of injected revenue. And like other things we're seeing this year, the universal DH, you know, the truncated extra effort to truncate extra innings. I think this is a preview into the future, an expanded playoff field. And one of the, you know, interesting twists in this, which I actually like, is that you would have a selection show in which the 1, 2, and 3 seeds, the division winners, would be able to pick their opponents among the other 5 teams. So in other words, if the Yankees were the number one seed, they would get to choose among the 5 lowest seeds which team they would want to play. I personally love that.
Yeah.
I think that would be
That's
a lot
sweet.
Of fun.
Buster, that's sweet right there. I mean, I echo that. I mean, the fact – could you imagine the disdain and hate that would come from the fact that you pointed me out? Oh, you want me? It's like when you got to pick out somebody to fight in the schoolyard and you pick out the little guy and don't realize that he's a ninja.
Or can you – I was thinking about this. Can you imagine if that happened in the NFL and Belichick every year with the number one seed picking team, how that would make that team feel?
Yeah, like –
that would be fun.
Like, you want the Jets again? Come on, man, Bill. Just stop. Come on, man. Stop, Bill.
But I mean, that would add some intrigue to it. And that's the thing I want to know from it primarily, Buster. If that's how they're going to do it, does it work out better for a team like the Yankees, who we all expect to win 37, 38, 39 games and be there right in that discussion? Or does it actually work out to be a more difficult task for the teams that are near the top, even though they get to pick who they're playing?
Well, let's face it, and I don't know exactly what the format would be, but because of the limitations of the calendar, it looks like that first round would be best of 3.
Yeah.
So you would have the Yankees and the Dodgers potentially, these heavy favorites in the American League and National League, and you can pick all you want, and you can feel like you have an advantage, but it's baseball.
Yeah.
And any team can take 2 or 3 from any of the other teams, it would be interesting to see how it play out. I would say that, you know, going into any 3-game series, you couldn't install any team as a heavy favorite.
Are we underestimating the path for the Yankees? We just assume that it's going to be the Yankees and it's going to be the Dodgers. But I feel like the Yankees have a different type of pressure, because they can win and be successful, and it's going to be because they're supposed to. But I feel like they're going to be empty, joyless wins, because until they get past the point where they've always gotten to, they can't even celebrate or begin to be happy.
I would agree with you if this was 1999 again and 2000. You know, I covered the Yankees from 98 to 2001. By the time they got to 2000, what you just described was exactly the case. Like, the regular season got to be boring for that team because they had done it repeatedly. This group of guys has not. They haven't climbed the mountain yet. And I still think that they, you know, would enjoy the journey of dominating during the regular season. And let's face it, you know, this team is, Chris, I heard your lines going into it about how good they're going to be. This is how gutless I am. I for 2 weeks, beginning of summer camp, I was talking up the Rays. I'm going to pick the Rays. I get the Rays to win the World Series. And then I watched the Yankees and some of their inter-squad games. Then against the Mets, I'm like, yeah, I'm not stupid. I'm not picking against the Harlem Globetrotters. I mean, that team is stacked. Oh, my God. They led the American League in runs scored last year. They lost Stanton and Judge for more than 200 games. They didn't have Miguel Andujar. One evaluator saying to me that he looks like Sammy Sosa to him with his swing these days. And you know, the one question I had going into spring training was their rotation. Well, you know, Tanaka, Paxton, Happ all look fine. And Jordan Montgomery.
Yes.
Good Lord. You know, Aaron Boone, who I used to work with at ESPN, he was talking him up in spring training. And Aaron's such a glass half full guy that in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, okay, Aaron, thanks. You know, I know. And now I'm watching. Oh, my God, he was telling the truth. He looks unbelievable. So on paper, they're the best team that I've seen on paper since those late 90s Yankees teams.
Well, as you say on paper, but on paper also is those Los Angeles Dodgers. And if you had to pick between, you know, a lineup, it's kind of hard not to pick the Dodgers. It's maybe a more talented version of the Yankees, maybe not with the depth at pitching.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the Yankees lineup better in terms of firepower, total firepower. That's like trying to find a pimple on perfection in terms of looking at the Dodgers and, you know, and saying, well, you know, Will Smith, their catcher, might not be as good offensively as Gary Sanchez. You know, Chris Taylor, one of their regular guys, maybe he's not as good as Judge. You know, those are two great teams. You know, the question that I mentioned about the Yankees is the same question I think at this point would have about the Dodgers. You know, Kershaw, he's on the downside of his career, and so how quickly does that take form? Is he still going to be the guy? Walker Buehler is clearly, for all practical purposes, the ace. They have a lot of other talented young pitching, but that rotation is the question for me.
Buster Olney with us, Barton Hahn here on 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Buster, let's shift to the Mets for a minute. The Stroman news is obviously crippling, but if this expanded playoff actually comes down, it might give them a little bit of life, but at the same time, Bart made this point last hour. If you're a team like the Mets that's for sale and you're Brody Van Wagenen, and you've got this Cano trade hanging over your head, and you've got Jed Lowry hanging over your head, you're trying to prove to a new owner that you deserve to stay. Is there the danger of making a desperation move since we're only one month away just to get to that postseason?
And it's a great question. It's an interesting question. And I don't know, you know, what his flexibility is going to be to actually get stuff done. Because we can, you know, sit here and say, yes, the Mets could use some help in their rotation. But ultimately, Brody Van Wagenen is going to be either have his hands tied or not by their ownership. You know, will that sale? And I've seen this happen before where a team sale is far down the road. And in the background, the next owner is giving the wink, wink, nod, nod to making a big deal and saying, yeah, I want to give us the best chance to get forward. Or is, you know, the Mets' stark financial situation currently going to have an impact on the moves that he makes? I'd say this. There are probably going to be fewer teams than we usually see in terms of being sellers. If you have a 16-team playoff field, there might be 20 teams that feel like they have a chance. So the pickings might be slim for the Mets to go through as they try to upgrade their team. I agree with you. I mean, this is such a tough loss for them. And let's face it, in a 60-game season, there's no such thing as a minor injury. And I've always thought of calf injuries for pitchers to be like those wrist injuries for hitters, where they can put a timeline on it. But until, you know, the pitcher's out on the mound and driving off his legs, you really don't know how he's going to be, how effective he's going to be when he comes back.
Yeah, I feel like in the midst of this conversation, the most disrespected team, maybe the defending champions in the Nationals. And I know they lost Rendon, but with that pitching staff that they have, what are their chances to be a big player in this whole conversation?
And it's a great point. I really, you know, there hasn't been a repeat champion since the Yankee teams from 98 to 2000. And we always talk about World Series hangover. Well, this year there is no World Series hangover for that pitching staff. You know, it's a 60-game sprint for older starters and Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg and Patrick Corbin. And that helps, I think, their bullpen at the outset of this season with the addition of Will Harris. You know, Daniel Hudson coming back is better than it was for a lot of last year. Here's my question, you know, where's the firepower going to come from? They lost Anthony Rendon, who was there, you know, regarded by a lot of players as the best pure hitter in baseball. He goes to the Angels. And now, you know, as good as Juan Soto is, and his historical comparative is Ted Williams in terms of how good he is, but what's going to compel other teams to pitch to Juan Soto? You know, who are the guys around him, get on base in front of him or protect him from the back that's going to, you know, keep that lineup up to snuff?
Buster Olney with us here on 98.7 ESPN. Buster, a couple more for you real quick. Number one, who really gets hurt the most in your estimation now that we've gotten through this spring training 2.0? Who gets hurt the most by this shortened season? What team do you think?
I'm going to feel like I'm punting on your question to some degree, but I really believe this to be the case. It's the team that gets the positive test of a star. And it's inevitable, guys. There's going to be that situation that pops up where we hear just before a game, hey, you know, this guy's not available. And what you're hearing from teams is that even players who are asymptomatic, generally speaking, you know, they're going off the field for 21 days. And just as we were saying with injuries, there's no minor situation like that. And there's no telling exactly who's going to be affected in that way. So, that's the answer that pops to mind is which teams are going to get, going to surprisingly lose a player out of the blue.
Now, you know, we were making fun like that, you know, the Houston Astros are going to get off easy because they don't have to face, you know, the crowds and opposing teams, crowd and fan base, you know, with the signs and with the, you know, the screams and yells and boos. But, man, if the signs, if the indication of what the Kansas City Royals did to them, you know, in that game getting hit three times in a row is how the other opposing teams are going to kind of get retribution. It can be a tough, frustrating season for them, and we've already heard them crying before the season even started, trying to get baseball to protect them.
Yeah, and I personally, when I, you know, just going back and reviewing the situations and making some phone calls, I do think the other day it was serendipitous, that it wasn't necessarily a case where they were going to get targeted. I do think that there are going to be situations during the year where you are going to have opposing players, opposing pitchers, who are going to take their shots. And I heard just enough anger from players with other teams and understanding that during the course of this season, there are going to be situations, you know, two outs, nobody on base, fifth inning, no one's really watching, it's 8-2, boom. Somebody pays a price because the anger is real. You know, I know that the Astros, to some degree privately, kind of feel like that they – you know, that they've been picked on too much. And I know personally their Astros fans feel like that we focus too much on them. But it's pretty clear from reactions of players from Mike Trout to Kershaw to Sabathia that other players in baseball felt like they crossed the line. I don't think everyone's going to take it out on the field, but I think it's inevitable that somebody's going to.
All right, you're working the game tonight, correct, Buster?
I am working the game. I'm walking over there in about an hour and a half, yeah.
All right, so how's the forecast, Buster? I mean, it would be the most 2020 thing, wouldn't it?
It would be. You're 100% right. And last night, the thunder was booming around the ballpark. But I have access to the baseball's best weatherman, and that's Mike Trout, who's always helped me out on weather situation. And earlier today, and he truly, I'm sure you guys have seen the stories, he truly loves the weather. Yep. I would never ask him about his swing or contract stuff. I only text him about weather. I said, what do you got? And he said, should be good to go. Might have a storm pop up. Could be a little delay, but should be fine. Hard to predict storms in the summer. They are tricky. So that's what we're hearing from Mike Trout.
Is he a storm tracer?
He is.
He loves it. Yeah, I think the most animated I ever saw him in the conversation we had, I told him about a hotel that's made of ice. I want to say it's in Sweden. And he, or Norway, and he was so fired up, he went running off to get to see the website.
Wow. Awesome stuff, Buster. We appreciate it as always.
I appreciate it, guys. Good to talk with you.
Buster will be part of the coverage tonight on ESPN. It is the return of baseball. Tune in. Opening night action. Aaron Judge and the Yankees visiting the defending champion Nationals, presented by Geico. Coverage begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. on ESPN. And, of course, you can hear the game starting at 7 right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Did you say Gleyber Torres and the Yankees? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
I'm sorry. My mistake. I missed out on that. I'm just going off what the copy says, my friend. And I don't disagree with you. You know, I'm fascinated by the Yankees. And I know we all look at it, as we were talking about with Buster, like it's a massively foregone conclusion. But can you imagine if it does turn out that they expand these playoffs and they have that selection show? And the Yankees have to pick their opponent. Ooh. I mean, the chip on your shoulder that you begin with there to begin, it doesn't change the outcome necessarily, but boy, at least it adds the juice to it. Now, that I can get behind.
It's a three-game, are you talking about a three-game series?
Yep.
I mean, somebody can get hot. Somebody can just, you know, Tanaka can have that old hanging slider going on or something, and they get behind early, and it can be, ha, 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 pick us, we pick you. I mean, that would be fascinating. I think that's something and just the type of juice that baseball needs.
And, look, you can try that this kind of season.
Yeah,
okay. And listen, I don't love the fact that they've waited until the last minute to try to throw this together. To me, that's just silly. Just, like I said, get the Blue Jays someplace to play. I don't care if you just have to go pick up a field that's somewhere in the middle of nowhere and just let them go play. I don't care if it's the place in Iowa. I don't care. Nobody cares where it is. Don't make them play every single game on the road. At least let them have a temporary home this year.
Can a brother be able to stay in one hotel for more than 5 days straight?
Exactly.
Like, come on, man.
I got to pack up every other day. Oh, I mean, you know what that's like anyway, but the travel that would be involved with that, that's not fair to them, for Pete's sake.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, they become a traveling hotspot. Nobody wants them.
Yeah, call Detroit. Detroit got plenty of room.
Anthony, we heard earlier they're going to play their first series at home, which is starting next Wednesday at Nationals Park. Is that correct? Okay, so that's our report that we know of right now. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But to me, I know you want to expand the playoffs. I think it's a good thing. I'm all about trying everything we can. I just wish we weren't trying to get it done by first pitch tonight. I mean, where were we for the last 3 weeks? We couldn't maybe, you know, mull over this idea and try to get them back to the table to talk about it?
Like everything in sports right now, Chris, is fluid.
It's fluid.
We're making it up as we go, baby. Nobody has the playbook.
You know, first of all, fluid's kind of a disgusting word to begin with, but it's now becoming my least favorite word. Like, you know, I mean, there's some bad words out there, but that's one that just to me, fluid now, for some reason, all it means is we don't have a plan. That's what fluid means. And I know that we are in a time where the plan is never going to be the plan. But at least have some contingencies in place. And by the way, on the Blue Jays front, it was Manfred who said earlier this year, well, if a team can't play in their home city, we'll have a contingency. How's that working out for you?
Yeah, dog ate his own work.
Can we get something done? Oh, my Lord. Who was?
Can't wait.
Oh, we got
My Lord. Juan Soto, according to Jeff Passan, has tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, right on cue.
Just as Buster said, a star player is going to test. It's inevitable.
21
days. The Nats lose Juan Soto tonight. And so he's talking about 21 days. So what? It's 14 days right out of the gate.
Got to have negative tests, two of them.
And then you got to ramp back up, right, for a few days. I mean, that's a crusher for the Nats.
Now they got to do contact trade while everybody else is getting done, right? Man,
boy. Everybody's going to be lining up for more tests this afternoon in that clubhouse. And, you know, I was reading about it today. Bart, the real fear, Jeff Passan was talking about this a lot, that because there has been so much testing, and in some of these clubhouses there really hasn't been anybody that's testing positive, that players are becoming more and more comfortable with not wearing masks, with doing all that kind of stuff, man, you're losing a guy like Juan Soto. You throw that damn mask on. I don't care.
I'm showing up like Embiid showed up to the bubble. That's how I'm walking around. I'm in team meetings. I'm bubble boy. Don't talk to me.
Bart, it is time for some audio files.
The audio file.
Okay. First up, Jeff Passan. Yesterday, Mookie Betts getting 12 years, $365 million, and a $65 million signing bonus. Now, they're deferring $115 million of it, but still, you know, it's going to work out just fine. Like, $65 million signing bonus.
Good news, bad news. Good news is Mookie got his cheese. Bad news, Aaron Judge is going to want a $13 million contract, and he's already older than what Mookie Betts is, or they're about the same age, and he's going to hit it later. Now you're going to be talking about paying another big slugger that struggles with his health well into his 40s, and we just witnessed the bad part of A-Rod's contract. So good news, bad news. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be an unpopular decision, but if they're really talking about analytics and, you know, cost and value, you may not get Aaron Judge that type of money. And if you're going to do that, you may have to trade him to a place that will, because they need a star, like Los Angeles Angels did for Albert Pujols.
Well, let's hear Jeff Passan on why it was the right thing to do.
The fact that he's going to get that much money in the pandemic when, as you guys know, baseball owners spent a lot of time talking this offseason about, talking after play was suspended about how much money that they're going to be losing. I believe that it was Tom Ricketts, the owner of the Chicago Cubs, who said the losses are going to be biblical. Mookie Betts is like in biblical times right now, getting fed grapes by people. And he has, you know, he is the person who is ending up the best, maybe out of everyone in all of this. And it's what made it so shocking that even with the pandemic still raging on, the Dodgers believed that signing Mookie Betts to this mega deal was the right thing to do.
I got to tell you, I mean, 13 years overall when you include this year.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I wouldn't have done it.
But it took no guts to do that. I mean, do you want to trade for him, eat up David Price's money, and then let him walk away next year and only get him for 1 year? You had to do it. We already knew that he had to get the bag, and what he had turned down from the Red Sox the year before, we knew they had to give him the bag. So give him the bag now.
But after all of this and the fact that you don't know that you're going to have a cap beyond the end of next year, you're going to hand him 13 years, it could drastically change here.
It's the Dodgers. They print money. They print. They can pay him from portions of their local rate TV show.
I know Mets fans are bummed out by this, that they're not going to get a shot at him. I don't think this is the worst thing in the world. I really don't.
The Mets could go for a center fielder.
And besides, as you found out, he would tear his Achilles the first day he was there, getting up onto the podium. Here's Mike Tannenbaum, Golic and Wingo, his reaction, of course, the former Jet GM, to the Woody Johnson allegations.
Obviously, I was really surprised and disappointed if it's true. Very serious allegation. But I can just tell you guys firsthand on years and years of working for Woody Johnson, the Johnson family, I never experienced any of those allegations that, again, are very serious. But based on my experience, I never saw any of that.
I know. You basically echo that sentiment, right?
Yeah, but it's interesting, right? Because I'm trying to, look from the outside in. The fact that if this is true, what does that mean, and how is the NFL going to appropriately handle this? Because he hasn't been in control of the team operations for the 4 years since he's been in administration, so I don't know how you really punish him other than making sure that he never gets control again. But that really doesn't change anything. But it puts a huge stain on the Jets, and it puts a huge stain on the Johnson family name, which I feel is more important, your family name, opposed to the organization in which you own. But it would be surprising. And once again, it would make the Jets not popular and be one of those places that's not cool, where maybe free agents say, you know what, it's going to take extra for me to go there because right, I don't know what they feel.
You know, all right, so if it is all turned out to be true,
yeah,
and it's, you know, again, just allegations at the moment, I think you're right. They're not going to let him back anywhere near the franchise, I would think, the league.
Right.
You can't hold that against the family the team, and yeah. Christopher, though, his brother, though, right?
No, you can't. You know, listen, you're responsible for your own individual, and especially if those comments were made when he wasn't even in control of the team. Right, so then I don't understand how they can do that, but it does put a stain there, and it's going to force it's going to be a lot of relationships lost from Woody Johnson, from people that called him friend, if those were his words and those are his beliefs.
Marcus Spears on Get Up on Aaron Rodgers and his time in Green Bay.
You telling me Aaron Rodgers been there this long and he's been the one, and that's not underachieving? Russell Wilson been the two. Even though he lost one,
two.
And he shouldn't have lost that one if they hand the damn ball off to Marshawn Lynch, but he's been the two. Like, Carson Wentz, for all intents and purposes, has been to a Super Bowl. Mahomes has almost been the two, had it not for been a guy lining up all sides. Come on, guys. One Super Bowl Aaron for Rodgers Aaron Rodgers in all of four. These years is an underachievement.
I'm sorry. I'm not pinning this one on Aaron Rodgers. You know, is he my favorite? He's not. But what defense has Green Bay had with Aaron Rodgers for the majority of his career there?
No, I get that. I mean, they really haven't went out in free agency, and they just started last year and got him a defense. But they failed this offseason miserably to get him weapons. I mean, really? Yeah. Like, what the hell are they doing out there in Green Bay and trying to build around Aaron Rodgers, you know, being able to get his successor, I guess? But to me, it's still disappointing. Because if you're the baddest man in the planet, I mean, you can ask yourself how many players or defenses did Peyton Manning have? If you're a great player, you should always have your team in a running. And consistently, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been able to do that. You know, when you think about somebody that's going to take all the cheese on the taco and not share it with everybody else, then he has to account for more than one player. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, it is shocking that, man, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been to more than one Super Bowl. You look at guys like Ben Roethlisberger, but you also look at guys like Peyton Manning that didn't have the supporting cast. I can't name any lineman from Peyton Manning. I can name some receivers, but, you know, the best defender that he ever had was, you know, maybe Dwight Freeney and Bob Sanders for 1 year, but he didn't have a talented defense or team that was in the top 20 in defense.
All right, last one.
Okay.
And you love this. Iron Mike Tyson this morning. On Get Up, or excuse me, on First Take, big announcement.
I'm starting this new league called Legends Only League. It starts September 12th in Los Angeles, and it will be announced soon. And it's going to be like a three-hour event with a special performance to be announced really soon. And it's going to be watched on pay-per-view on Triller platform. 8 rounds exhibition called Frontline Battle. Me and Roy Jones. It's just going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to it. I started this league, Legends Only. I was watching this insight about Jerry Rice, and at his age right now, he's amazingly fast and can still perform. And I'm saying, why can't he and another five or six people play another quarterback and his five or six people, and why can't we have a game of Legends playing? And I said that should be game, because these guys are still exciting.
Mike, you don't get punched in the face in football. And if Jerry Rice is playing, it's going to be 7-on-7. And ain't nobody going to hurt nobody, Mike. Roy Jones is going to be trying to punch you. I don't know if you're going to put on headgear, but the fact that Mike, how great is it to be Mike Tyson? You can have an idea, and people will bankroll whatever idea you want to do. He can't miss right now.
He's fighting a shark this week.
He can't. Listen, he's batting 1,000 because people just love him as a person, and I think they grew to love him later. He's an A-Rod of baseball. They hated him, and now they love him all over again. And the fact that he can do this, I mean, he had this marijuana thing that people back. You know Mike didn't put his own money up there like that. He had the huge marijuana farm. It's good to be Mike Tyson. Fighting Roy Jones is a better matchup because they're about the same height, and the fact that, you know, Roy Jones can't physically hurt him because Mike is used to to being hit by bigger men. So he should be able to take those punches better, which means that the fight should go longer, which means that it's going to come down to two old people in their cardio, which could be funny because you can see a guy go down like when Muhammad Ali fought George Foreman, yep. Where it wasn't that he was hurt. It's that he was so tired, there was no oxygen to put in his lungs to make himself get up. So you can see some old people saying, I've fallen and I can't get up. And you see that the fact that they're not hurt is just hilarious to me. But it's going to be great because you know who's coming out next. Bernard Hopkins is going to say, I want some of that action. And then you're going to get a guy like James Toney, who I feel is the funniest dude ever, to come out. And then you know, Let's Go Champ is coming and Shannon Briggs. So you got a nice roster of people that you can already imagine will want some of that smoke. This is the big three for boxing. For football, I don't know. Old people just don't want to, you know, get old. They still want to compete, and this is an opportunity for them to do that. And if Mike Tyson can handle the fall off the hoverboard, he can handle a hook or uppercut from Roy Jones, I'm sure.
Yeah, then we got this problem, though. Like, I was on board until I saw who's on the undercard.
Oh, yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready. I already know, but I'm ready.
I wanted to show that I'm a world-class athlete. I played college football, played in the NBA for 11 years, and I'm excited.
My favorite
for this
dude.
Venture into the sport of boxing.
Yes.
Nate Robinson is taking on, by
Nate
the
Dog.
Way, Jake Paul, a YouTube star.
Before we go there, before you discredit Jake Paul like I did because my daughter watched him on YouTube, all this stuff, he fought two real fights against a DJ. This dude was shredded. This dude fought for 8 rounds, and he threw punches, and he was in shape. So to see Nate go down, Nate is in a bad predicament because he's going against a YouTuber. He's a professional athlete, and if he gets beat, not only by a YouTuber, but a white guy, he gonna lose all his street cred.
What happened? Screech wasn't available? I mean, come on.
Hey, man.
We're turning this into those celebrity boxing matches.
Bro, it's a celebrity death match. But I tell you what, man.
I'd rather watch the claymation.
Hey, but on the real, Jake Paul represented himself well in two fights.
Okay.
I mean, it was a. You need to watch it. It was a good fight. Now he lost.
Now that you're trying to sell me on it, I feel like you're getting a piece of this, and I don't know about it.
No, man. I just know. I kind of discredited Jake Paul. He was shredded. He's in shape. He's a big dude too. He's like 6'2". And he was in shape. He fought. Anybody that ever watched Refrigerator Perry Manute Bol fight in that, what's that that fighting thing they used to have?
Yeah, it was celebrity boxing. Yeah,
no,
they used to put it on Fox.
Yeah, it was something else. Like, it was a minute. It was a minute fight, man. And when I watched Bob Sapp beat the hell out of Refrigerator Perry, had plumber booty. People get a real appreciation of what it's like to fight for not even a minute around. These guys are going to go three. This is going to be entertaining, man. And Nate is in trouble, man. If Nate gets knocked out or gets knocked down by a YouTuber, his podcast is going to be canceled, and he's going to get canceled by cancel culture because so many people are going to be disappointed in the fact that he lost to a white YouTuber.
I love the fact that you are trying to break this down like it's the next Mayweather fight. I love
hey,
it.
No,
I love
hey, it. Hey, you remember the Great White Hype with Damian
yeah.
Wayans?
Oh,
and it's gonna be people moving up. I like to bet $2 on a clean cut white guy. It's gonna be that type of division. You're gonna have a hood over here with Nate. And if Nate lose and embarrass the hood, we think we going to Sizzlers and you lose to Billy Hoyle out here on the beach because you talking all this smoke like you a gangster, you a thug. Not every black person think they a thug, they gonna win automatically. Cause they from the hood and they be puffing their chest up and they be talking. See, black people will fake you out like they can fight. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of them can't fight, but they be like, yeah, man, whatever. Oh, let's do it. Let's break it down. Oh, man, you really want to fight? Oh, man, hold up, man. Let me talk to you, dog. So, like, listen, Jake Paul bought that smoke a little bit. He ain't afraid because he's fought. And the dude he fought was black, too. So he got past that twice. I'm intrigued.
That's audio files. Thank
but then,
you.
Then cut the music. Go like, Bart, you're going to get yourself in trouble talking all this white, black stuff. I'm just telling you what people be saying for real.
All right. We're starting it up tonight. Finally, getting some baseball going. And look, we've talked about the excitement level that you all have right now. And it's funny. It has kind of gotten, I don't want to say dialed back or subdued. We know how difficult the last few months have been, and we understand how much we've been looking forward to this. But with that being the case, it's just going to be good more than anything else to actually see something, as you said earlier, that didn't happen 35 years ago to talk about. All right, I think we lost Bart for a second.
No, I'm back, man.
Oh, there he is.
I got a plumber here, and everybody calling me. I'm telling them, hey, I'm live on the radio. You know how it is. This is one of the issues of working from home that, you know, yeah. You get calls, and you talk to people while you're live on air. You try and distract them, but they come talk to you, and you call the phone. But whatever, I'm back. I got eight minutes.
You.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I was putting in a storm door yesterday. Same thing.
Yeah.
Look, point being is, last couple of months, it's been subdued. You haven't been necessarily as, you know, been a little bummed out not having it. And right. There's been a lot to be bummed out about when you look at everything that's gone down. But at the very least, tonight, you have it. You have a chance to actually talk about something that happened now. And as you put it earlier, not 35 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have to have a notebook, take notes, listen to the pre and post, and have an opinion and get challenged on it. We've been dreaming about this. I've been dreaming about this.
Yep.
I haven't did it since I've been here.
That's true. And listen, Bart brings the fire when it comes to this stuff. I know firsthand, having seen it on that front. And look, the other thing too about just getting to play tonight is that it is, whether or not you think the Yankees are just going to blow through this entire American League, it is an intriguing situation knowing that it's almost no win for them this year, right? It's like if they don't win the World Series, all of this is a massive disappointment. It's basically like when the Yankees play the Mets. There's no win. You're supposed to win.
Exactly. And the thing is it's not a foregone conclusion because we thought they were the favorites last year. Look at the season that they had last year. It was amazing, record-breaking for the second year in a row. You know, Boone starting his coaching career in rarefied air, being a manager that starts with two seasons with wins over 100 wins and ducats, right? Who cares about that record if you didn't win a title? So trying to be able to get opportunity to win that title is important for them to get over the hump. You know, they put all the resources, and they were trying to win it their way, right? They wanted to win it their way. They wanted to win it their way, but the problem is they didn't want to go out and spend the money. They wanted to win responsibly. They didn't want to win the Yankees way, the George Steinbrenner way, the way where you say, hey, you know what? We're going to get what we need, and we don't care how much we got to spend to do it. They finally did it with Gerrit Cole. He's been eluding them for years, ever since, you know, he came out and was eligible to be a professional. They finally got him, and now you have no excuse, because not only do you have Tanaka, but now you have the ace that everybody thought that you needed to.
All right. We'll end on this note. The numbers for the Yankees and the Mets. The gambling note, of course. You and I used to go in together quite a bit. Now, the gambling numbers. We're going to try to make some money.
Damn, Knicks. Lost Yankees, our whole money, man.
In 60 games, 37.5 is the over-under. You going over or under in terms of wins?
I'm going over, man. I can't see them losing that many games, man. I can see them with at least 40. I think 40 is the floor. The ceiling is like 45, 50.
50 and 10? Ooh, I don't know if that's going to happen. But I agree. I'm going over 37.5 for the Yankees. The Mets, after what we know, this is the more intriguing one.
Okay.
You got the Stroman injury. Mets are still 31.5. Slightly over 500.
That's about who they are, man.
You going with your heart? You're going with your head here.
I'm going.
Bart's ready to be hurt.
I'm gonna go over, man. Because I mean, 500. You think they're just gonna be 500 with DeGrom pitching 12 times? I think now they should have a little bit more run support. I think they win at least 10 of DeGrom's 12 starts, and then I think they get hot a little bit. So you asking me, can they win 22 games outside of the starts of DeGrom? And my answer to that is yes, simply because I think they'll figure it out and they'll put some other people out there. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Reel them in like a flounder flopping around on that boat.
But listen,
if I voted
with my head for the Yankees, so it don't matter. So I just break even. So if I have fun and lose in the process, it's all good.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.